Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greeting in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, and to receive the truth and the power of thy word, Father, to help us to grow stronger in faith and a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Father, be with us throughout this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 18th chapter of 2 Samuel, verse 1. And David numbered the people that were with him, and set the captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah. Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ataliah, the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. And you see, Absalom, had miscalculated David's continued popularity and support. David had not forgotten how to fight David's campaign strategy called for the employment of the traditional military maneuver of dividing one's forces into three attacking units. And the victory went to David and his experienced veterans. So you see, David took over the battle. Now, three, answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better that thou secure us out of the city. We're letting him know that really they need to find a place to go to stay together, because otherwise they're really not going to care anything about them. Now, and they're sure not going to be afraid. Four. And the king said unto them, what seemeth you best, I will do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai, attack. It's an odd name, and it's real short. It's I-T-T-A-I. Saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. People went out into the field against Israel. And that's going against Absalom. And the battle was in the wood of Ephraim. Seven. Where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. 20,000 men killed that day. We're talking about a battle. They had a battle. Eight. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood that devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Nine. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick broths of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. 11. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him, why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. 12. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai Abishai, the Hittite, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. 13. Otherwise, I should have brought falsehood against my own life, for there is no matter head from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Now, 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. He did it while he was still hanging in that oak. 15. And 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compressed about and smote Absalom and slew him. You know, despite David's instructions of mercy for Absalom, Joab would not give Absalom another chance to work his deceptions. And perhaps Joab's desire for revenge had also simmered long. In other words, he'd probably been mad quite a while. Now, 16. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. 17. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, every one to his tent. 18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillow which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance, called the pillow after his own name, and it is called unto this day, Absalom's place. Then said Imus, the son of Zogak, let me now run and bear the king's hiding, now that the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. Now we know that his army has killed his son now. And we know who done it. It was Joab and those with him. And they done it on Joab's orders. Now, 20. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. 22. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zobah, yet again to Joab, but however, let me, I pray thee, also run after. Hushai and Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? Now, 23. But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Hushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, a man running alone. Now he sees this man running alone. 25. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. 26. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man runneth alone. And the king said, he also brings tidings. Well, we know they were two on their way to talk with the king and to tell him about his son's death. Now, 27. And the watchman said, me thinketh, the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zodak. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which has delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my Lord the king. And we know from reading this chapter that the day, that one day of battle, they were 20,000 men killed. That's a lot of men to die in one day of battle. All right. 29. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great turmoil, for I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. Now 31. And behold, Hushai came, and Hushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. Now, and the king said unto Hushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Hushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that raise against me to do thee hurt be as that young man is. But we know that young man is dead. He really, on horseback, going under an oak tree, he caught himself on a limb by his head, which he hung himself, but that wasn't what killed him. Now, 33. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would to God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son. We have now come to the end. You know, we found here in 18 where Absalom had gathered all those thousands of men to go and to destroy his father. But they had been defeated, and then he also hung himself in that tree as he was going under it. And Joab took three darts. Now, I really don't know what they were calling darts, but evidently they were good size. It wasn't any little darts like we threw at a dartboard. Because he took those three darts, them in Absalom, and those with him took swords and finished killing. It was all done by Joab and those who were with him. And David and those with him had defeated Absalom's army. And now Absalom is gone. Now, I'm going to cover the first 14 verses here of chapter 19, because this is continuing on with that. We're not going to have time to get all the way through. So I'm going to stop with chapter 14, because there's 43 verses to chapter 19. Now, in the first verse, and it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. 3. And the people gat them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle, finding places to be away from it all. 4. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. 5. And Joab came into the house to the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives in the lives of thy confidants. And Joab's telling, because he's weeping for Absalom, the one that was coming against him to kill him and those with him, which would have been his other sons and daughters and his wives and his concubines. And because he was weeping so much in mourning, like he was, he was bringing shame on all of those that had been with him. So Joab's trying to get him calmed down. 6. And that thou lovest thy enemies and hatest thy friends, for thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants for this day. I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. In other words, Joab's telling David, you know, if we'd all died and he'd lived, that would have been all right with you. No, because he wouldn't have been there either, because he was the main one that his son was after. 7. Now therefore, arise, go forth and speak comfortably unto thy servants, for I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. He's letting him know, if you don't straighten up, they're all going to leave. And that's going to make things a whole lot worse for you. You know, David's grief over his slain son is actually ill-conceived by Joab, who considered Absalom only a traitor. And Joab feared that David's conduct might alienate those who had helped him to regain the throne. You see, his son had actually taken his throne there in Israel. Now, with their help, he is gaining his throne back. 10. And Absalom, whom we anoint over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? 11. And King David sent to Zanok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house? You see, for the importance of the gate of the city, and we told him to see another note, but we're not going there. Now, verse 12, ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? 13, and say ye to Amasa, art thou not of my whole bone and of my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. Now, here in 14, and he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants. As a token of reconciliation, David replaced Joab as commander of his army with Amasa. Amasa, Absalom's general. And perhaps he also thought in this way to repay Joab for his slaying of Absalom. The move was unwise and would cause more difficulty for David. He's letting the death of his son deter him to where it is bringing more and more grief upon him all the time. Now, we've come to the end of our reading for this evening. Now, we've learned a whole lot about the way things were in that day and time, and how they operated in the way they felt and would think. Because death really meant nothing to them. To kill someone else really didn't mean a whole lot, other than David or his son that had set out to kill him. Yet, he fought against his son's army, and that one day there was 20,000 killed. Their way of thinking sure wasn't like we think today, even those of us that are evil. But for those that really walk with God, there's a whole lot of difference in the way we think, the way we talk and speak, and in the things we do. Now, as we close God's word, we go to prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for the word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for this day and the things that we have been able to do and to accomplish this day. And we pray for Israel and Jerusalem, Father. We pray for peace for them. Because, Father, we know that right now they are under an attack. But even beyond that, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Father, this land of ours, we pray for it. And we pray for those that are evil, Father, that has brought this evil upon this land, upon this people, that is sitting in our offices, in high places, and in some of our churches. that they be removed from office and replaced with those that love you and love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people, and love this land. And that will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which this land was founded, and that being in your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for those that have been with me in this ministry, those that study with us, those that download and hear us later, Father, I pray for each and every one of them. I pray for Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy and Tom, and Jacob, Bobby, Billy Johnson, for Sue Branson, for Debbie, and Daryl, for my wife, myself, and for all of those people in the nursing home in Granningville, Father. They all need a touch of thy mighty hand as we prepare to separate for the evening of this night. Keep us in health, Father. Keep us safe. Bring us back together again in the morning, back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Father, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless. Have a great evening and a great night. Good night, all.